Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our episode of The Round Table. Our host will be with us shortly. Apparently, they were having some technical issues, so they'll be here shortly. Ross and Adam, the official host of The Round Table. They are from Chicago Jedi, and they are definitely going to be putting forth a definite great quality product, and looking forward to seeing what they have to offer the Jedi Roast Radio family. As we're waiting for them to call in, I'll give you guys a quick update about things. Jedi Roast Radio, when it started back in 2012, was originally just my own podcast. But now we went ahead and we made it more of a team effort. So instead of it being about me, it's about the Jedi Roast Radio community. Now, before I bring Adam onto the air, I'm going to disconnect. Adam's going to be taking control of the call. I'll also be here shortly. And before I forget, the Jedi Templar, my own personal episodes, they will be started on Tuesday. And Adam, welcome to the roundtable from Jedi Realist Radio. It's all you.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
All right, fantastic. Hi, very excited to be here. Thank you for bringing me in there, Mike. I think Ross is going to join us post-haste. It's a new experience for myself, and I'm really looking forward to working with Ross on this. We have big mouths, and we like to share them. I think what Mike did with the show was a lot of fun, and that he brought up a lot of different things that are different aspects of what it means to be a Jedi realist, and a lot of the real life stuff that's going on out there. The dedicated knights and other Jedi who are doing their best to exemplify the virtues that come with being a Jedi, and even more so a knight, and trying to live by example, and trying to go along the route of improving every aspect of their own life, and in so doing, improving the world that they live in. I think his work in that area has opened a lot of windows for a lot of people's understanding, and I hope that if you ever get a chance, you can go through some of his archives and listen to some of his older shows. You're going to find lots of really good stuff on there. Tons of interviews with real-life Jedi, tons of real-life Jedi realists, tons of professionals in their fields. Some of the most enlightening spiritual people I've ever listened to. And, you know, people, for some of us, you might consider down home, you know, down to earth people who follow this path, and show you how easy it is to just implement that subtle little sublimation of your own life, and how it brings a smile to people's face, and it gives you a stronger sense of self-worth, a clearer vision of where your life fits in where you are with yourself and how you're developing. And for a lot of people, that's a wonderful gift to have. Some of the best examples that I can think of, I always love the other Jedi that go live. I love watching Allie's videos. She's an amazing Jedi, and she's one of those down home, down to earth, you know, no, it's very simple. This is, you know, how it is. And she's always so clear in her explanations. And, you know, I won't profess to agree with everything that she's ever said, but I will say that it's a pleasure to listen to her and to see things from her perspective. Sean, that's a family man right there, man. He's doing it right. Sean Taiwan. I love watching his videos when he puts them up. He's a good guy to follow too. If you're looking for a moving forward and doing a fantastic job of just about every angle, he's a good one to listen to too. And if you're listening to this program, then you know MJ Hannigan, and I know I already talked a little bit about him earlier, but I just wanted to reiterate that he's brought a lot of things to a lot of people's attention in all sorts of circumstances, and every one of those circumstances produced a valuable learning opportunity for everybody involved. And so that, I think, is probably his best legacy through this series. One more punch for him. Go back and look at those archives and listen to some of the things that he's done before. I guess Ross hasn't gotten quite into the call yet. So I will go over some of the lighter things that we thought we might go into. We were gonna start out with giving you guys just a little bit of history of each other. I'll let Ross speak for himself, but I can give you a little bit of my background. My name's Adam Ruggieri, and I'm from Central Illinois. I grew up on a farm. It wasn't an active farm per se, but it was out in the country, and it was quiet and fun, and it was a small town feel and a small town world, and that's pretty much how I grew up. Once I went out on my own, I moved to Urbana. I haven't looked back since. I'm a printer right now. I work for a printing press called Minuteman Press. It's a wonderful place to work. In my spare time, well, not spare time, but my other dedication includes martial arts. I'm a member of the Jade Fortress here in town, and I spend a lot of my time there with them and doing community projects through them. And then in my spare time, I like to play games, I like to watch movies, and I like to talk with other Jedi. I believe that Ross is with us. Are you there, Ross? Hold on a second. I have a note here that says that he's on with me, but I'm not.
Hello,
there you
hello.
Are. Welcome, welcome. Everybody, this is Ross Greenberg. He's my co-host and partner moving forward on this project. I was just letting everybody know where I had come from and some of those background histories, and giving them some idea of some of the other resources out there that they can go to listen about the Jedi path and the kinds of things we'll be discussing.
I was listening
please,
to you.
I have spoken enough for right now. I can get in more into my own Jedi path later, but please introduce yourself. Let everybody know who you are for those who don't.
My name is Ross Greenberg. My Jedi name is Raphael Ben Raven. And I became more active in the Jedi community when I came here to Illinois, became a member of Chicago Jedi after I met Master Angelus, Gabriel Calderon. And that's how I know Adam. And that's how I met Michael Hannigan, who is the man who created this show. And we are, I guess, in the progress of now retooling and doing some new things and innovations that we're going to do with the show. Michael has decided that he is going to be adding on to his properties of doing things that are in the Jedi community, and he's allowing us to run with the ball. As far as my own stuff, I work with technology. I work with computers and doing things in point of sale and setting up websites for people. And well, when it comes to technology, it's been about my life since I'm a little kid. My softer side of my life is that I'm also a full-time martial artist. I have a studio here in Plainfield, Illinois. So that was another really cool bond between Adam and I. He and I have a serious amount of stuff in common. And we're just really super stoked about getting a chance to do things with Jedi Realist Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to be talking about our own paths, what happened to bring us to the path and how we developed along it and some of the insight that we picked up. We're going to be asking you, the listeners, to call in and talk about your path. We want to get as many people on here as possible so that there's as broad and true to form as people can get listening. maybe some of our Jedi practices and some of the things that we do to train ourselves, and perhaps even a little bit of the spiritual side of it. We can get a taste for how both myself, Ross, and you, the listeners, supplement your lives using the Jedi mythology. So, is that Jarvis?
yes. I'll mute that.
So, that said, Ross, you started going into how you had become a Jedi. Can you tell me a little bit about the earlier days of that journey for you?
I actually started when I first saw the movie come out. The movie Star Wars: A New Hope. It was just called Star Wars back then. And when I saw that, I was so inspired because it's so funny because it spoke to me on both levels. It spoke to me because of my love of technology. So, I mean, I was completely blown away by watching little characters come to life on a chessboard and fight each other and go, really? You could have a chessboard where it comes to life like that? Lightsabers, you know, a weapon that is made of energy. You know, just all these guys who were like, you know, they were futuristic monks fighting the bad guys. It was just so incredible. And it spoke to both sides of me at the same time. Who wouldn't be totally, you know, turned on about that? So right after seeing the Star Wars movie that Halloween, I wanted to be Luke Skywalker. So ever since then, I was just in love with it.
And you've taken that love and you've stepped towards some organizations and some activities, and you've really made it part of your life. I've seen that. In fact, I was amazed that we had both gotten the Blind Jedi idea, and we didn't even know that the other one had thought of it, and it made our coming together even more auspicious.
Yeah, we've had a lot of really interesting coincidences that made us very connected, right down to having you become my Padawan, which was really like, the day we met, you know, and you were just so, we were so into the whole moment. It's just really, really something.
Within the first hour, I think we were hugging and making plans for all the future.
That's true.
Showing up there was just amazing.
That's true. Let me see. I'm getting a message from Michael. Let's see. Okay, I have to step away from the mic for a second. I'm gonna help it on an administrative level. Take the mic, and I'll be right back.
You know what? I'll go the same direction that I asked you to, and talk a little bit about how I got into taking Jedi realism and adding it to my own life.
Yeah, I'd love to know I'd love how you first got into it and what inspired you to do this too.
I mean, I will say I did see the movie when I was young and I loved it. When I was a kid, I was staying at a friend's house. My parents, I think they had somewhere they had to go, but we were, you know, like some families have their kids come over to another kid's house and they all have a big play day or whatever. And we were doing that, and I kind of wanted some alone time, go be by myself. So I went off into the den, and while I was in the den, they said, you can hang out in here, but, you know, watch a movie or something, but don't make a lot of messes or a big noise or anything. I said, okay, fine. So I started going through the boxes of movies, these old VHS movies, and one of them was Star Wars. You know, this is like 86 or 87, you know, and I knew how a VHS worked. So I popped it in, and I watched, and I was entranced. I thought it was amazing. I was so into it. Even when I was a kid, Dad used to get us the toys, and, you know, that was just like one of the most amazing Christmases ever. It was like all the little toys were set up on the piano, and I just came downstairs, and I could start playing with them. It was great. So definitely a little bit of the childhood in there. But fast forward to when I was about 30. This is after I had already been a martial artist. This is after, you know, a little college, a lot of going from different jobs to find places that suited me well. And there were a lot of really nice jobs out there. I worked with a lot of good people, got a lot of good experience in all levels. And I thank my wandering nature for those experiences. But eventually I wanted to start working on myself. I didn't want to let my world determine who I was as much as take a hand and steer myself in a good direction. And so I started looking. You know, I had been disillusioned with religion. I had seen it as, you know, a falsity, just a way to control people. You know, I saw that there was a good thing to it. I saw people who really believed in it, that belief, helping them come closer, think better of themselves, try to be better people, creating a loving community. A lot of good things came from it, but I still didn't believe in it. And one day I decided, well, if the truth of it is that people are just sort of making it up, and I know it comes into being for various reasons. Somebody sees something miraculous and tells a story, and that story gets told again, and that story gets told again, and pretty soon it's a legend, and, you know, some people take it so seriously that their kids grow up believing that it's absolute, and, you know, all the way down the line. So, sure, there's plenty of reasons that people believe in different religions, but ultimately I thought it's the story that people are using to describe their life, to help dress up their life and make their life a little more interesting. And through that story and through believing in something you know isn't there, I saw tons of beneficial things, including, you know, just being able to live without the stress of all of that, you know. And I thought, if you can just make up one, then why not just pick a story that you really like and make that part of your life? And so I thought, why not Star Wars? You know, I didn't invent Jediism or Jedi realism, but I did at that moment start looking for it. And I went out there. I went on to lots of online sources because there wasn't a Jedi temple here, you know, out in the middle of Illinois. There were some people up in Chicago. There were people in England. There were people in Russia, there were people, you know, all over the planet, really, and people over in Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, Portland, California, everywhere, but we were all spread apart, you know, and we all had that sort of similar interest. We were quite, it seemed to me, knowing quite where it went. I was not old guard, as you might hear out in the community, but I met a lot of them at the tail end of it. And now it seems like a second generation or a third generation, and there's a little more heft to the community, but it's not quite the same thing that I'm told it used to be. But out of it did come some pathways that people had been using to improve themselves. Some of them chose to do it as a religion, others chose to do it as a philosophy. And that's what Jedi realism is. It's a philosophy that you apply to your life. About, for me, self-improvement and such. And I saw that and I thought, you know, I could be a Jedi and I can improve myself and I can have these, you know, people that I can commune with on it, and I can take it 100% seriously because I know it's all, you know, there because I want it to be there and not for any other reason. The reason that's why it's in my life. I chose it. It wasn't forced on me or anything. And it's fun. It is. It makes me smile. All the things that being a Jedi let me do, and it has been a positive influence in my life. Even if it's a silly reason to some, it's still a good reason to me. And I've used it for exercise and focus and doing better at my work, trying to be a better friend, working out personal emotional issues, getting over things that you know, used to haunt me. And I think a lot of Jedi have that problem too, but I think I'm starting to ramble a little bit here, but once I had gotten into it and found the sources online, I ended up over at Temple of the Jedi Order. And through them, I saw some of the religious aspect to it, and it is my temple. But the Jedi realism came to me through my interactions with the Chicago Jedi and from MJ Hannigan and also Opie.
Thank God for those
and,
dudes.
And they, so I started reading the books and listening to the episodes and trying to incorporate the philosophy as much as the religion. And that's why I'm here on this radio show, because I can be a bridge between the two if necessary in discussion. And also because I do believe in Jedi realism. I jokingly say I'm a Jedi realist who believes in Jediism. but the show's focus, though, I think, is the Jedi realist part, obviously, because of the Jedi realist radio. Knights of the Round has always been that way. And I think, philosophy aside, Jedi realists might say that they focus more on the practical aspects, and that evidence and compassion are what drive them. Hold on a second.
I'm so happy you guys exist. This is Sean Tawan.
Oh, what is up, man? Welcome,
what's up,
welcome.
Family? my little girl is on her way to bed, but she's saying hi.
Hello.
She doesn't know it yet, though. No, I'm sorry I just kind of chimed in so late, man, and was listening to you the whole time. And I appreciate your point of view. I agree with you so much. You know, thank goodness that it's been brought to the light that there's another way to be, you know, spiritual than just some of the more traditional ways that we have here in the States. Thank goodness, man.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear me shining you earlier?
No, I'll have to re-listen to the episode to hear that. I always miss the good stuff.
I was letting everybody know that one of my favorite things to do is to see your video come across my wall on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, I love just sitting there watching that.
Thank you.
Smile on my face. See, you're like, maybe I'm building you up, but you give me that, the kind of family man I would like to be. Does that make sense?
Thank you, man. That's the biggest compliment I can ever have. I appreciate it, though.
Adam, I made it back on the show.
Hey, Ross. Sean joined us.
Yeah, no, I heard. Hey, Sean, welcome.
What's going on, man?
It was just very funny because, okay, so I'm running the board now. You know, I'm running the admin board, and I'm sitting here talking to you guys, and you guys aren't hearing me. I'm like, I don't get it. Yeah, it's because I have to actually turn my own mic on in the admin board. Nice. My technology is working against me, damn it.
Guys, I'm so happy. Like, I thought I was going to miss you tonight. I was just like, man, it's past 9 o'clock. I'm still trying to do things around the house, trying to get the kids ready for, you know, bed and everything. And I popped in on at 10-something, and I'm like, you're still there, thank goodness. Ah, I get to, you know, I get
welcome
to actually chime in a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and
hello?
I understand. I got done teaching my classes and sped back home to get here to be able to run the show. But in the future, I'm going to make sure that I cut out of there right at 8 o'clock so that we can be right on time. I'm just very generous with my students, and sometimes I guess I gotta be a little bit more selfish for myself.
You know what?
We all
that
understand.
Is a good sacrifice to have to make, man. That's so important that sometimes those students that look forward to us actually helping them out, and it helping us out in the process, it keeps everything right. I think that's more important than anything in the rest of the world, the here and now versus the plan of what could be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
We have them, you know. We try to get to the show, and it might not happen when we want. But when we have that student here and now, man, I've run many times where I've assisted like training and everything, and sometimes that show runs late. My wife will call. She's like, "Babe, what time are you coming home?" I'm like, "Babe, when we're done, you know, like it's these kids need it." You know, these sometimes grown ups, these students need it, and I need it. I'm a student while I'm teaching, so I mean, I feel you.
True.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, it's that passion that drives us, that's for sure.
We'll wait 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever you need to do, you know, if that happens. And I'm sure you guys would do it for me if I was teaching one of my classes.
Absolutely.
So, that said, I was just rambling on a bit about how I came to the path. Sean, since you're here, do you want to maybe talk about how you decided to follow the Jedi path or what you may have been doing with it in your earlier years doing it?
Man, some years back, first off, hey, listeners, what's up? But some years back, man, I wouldn't say confusing. I kind of knew where my spirit was, but trying to explain that to family is insane. You know, like typically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like you're coming from an urban area, some of the family from the South, other parts of the family from the South, as far as like Puerto Rico or what have you, and Antigua. They don't want to hear anything outside of, yo, if you're not a Christian, we don't want to hear from you. and I'm not, you know, I'm not. It's just, I'm not against those dudes in most cases. I'm weird about the books. I'm weird about what I believe and what I don't. And if I could have anything, I would want my daughter to grow up to be able to make her own choices as far as what makes sense and what doesn't. Did someone take every animal in the planet and put them on a ship and make them get along, even sea creatures? You know, it's just, I want my daughter to be able to make sense of things. And if she chooses to go that path, then by all means. But if she accepts that path as more of a lesson than a reality, but the lesson that makes her reality, then fine, so be it. When I came across the idea for myself that I wasn't happy with some of the stories that were being told by say the Bible or some of the Christian books or what have you, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm hearing half the table say that this book needs to be taken literal, and I'm hearing another half of the table say, well, it's not so literal except for the second half of the book. And I'm like, you know what? It's weird for me. I'm not comfortable with it. If somebody else is, more power to them. God love them. God bless them. But for me, I'm a little bit of a realist. I started calling myself an energist. I don't even know if that exists. When people would say, hey, what religion are you? I would just say, well, I'm an energist. You know, I'm somebody who believes in energy. I believe in kind of like life force. I believe in energy. And, well, what foundation do you have on that? And I'm like, well, you know, there's a lot of foundations I have on it, but mostly what I feel in my heart. I just feel that we all exist through energy, and I think that energy is something that can't be destroyed, just transformed in whatever way you can. It can be guided. And then I started, like, looking at, like, Star Wars a lot more often than normal, and I'm like, man, you know, we have a lot in common with some of the ideas, but not all of the ideas from, say, the movies. But then I started following, like, some of the forums probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and instead of just calling myself an energist, I already know that the stories, I had this kind of a, sorry if I drag on, I know I do, I got a big mouth.
It's all right,
no, man.
It's good.
Going.
Express
keep
yourself,
going.
Man. Just tell the truth.
I had a debate, or I wouldn't even say an argument, but more of a debate with my best friend, whereas it was like, he's like a pastor. He's like, you know, he's seriously into the whole Christian belief, the system. And that's fine.
Sure. Literally.
Hold on. There you go, buddy. There you go. So he was just like, well, why would you be okay with you know, something like the Jedi stuff and not be all right with, you know, Christianity? I mean, Christianity is like many, many thousands of years older. And I'm like, well,
yeah,
it's not so much the Jedi stuff that my interest in flavoring the food that I was getting from this was the Jedi stuff, no doubt. But the actual food itself was a matter of energy. Of course, my wife would try to call now because I'm online. But the food itself was a matter of energy. What did I relate that energy to? That energy to me related directly to the Force. If I was going to pray to someone and get on my knees to pray to someone, I'm a lot more comfortable going with a lot of the Native American beliefs and a lot of even African beliefs of energy and land and earth and energy, just energy in specific. And that that's how I relate Jediism. It's like the follower of the Force is the follower of life energy. For me, that's perfect. And I get to say, hey, I know that this story from Star Wars isn't true, but I also know that every book, everything that we learn from, has an author. And at some point, that author's story turns out to be true or fake, depending on who accepts it. And and if you're okay with the four people that supposedly wrote into the Bible and they're being the author of that, then I'm okay with how I choose to believe the lessons behind the Force and Jediism. And I think that that's perfectly okay. If I want to call it a religion, that's perfectly okay for me to do that. If I want to call it a philosophy or one and the same, that's perfectly okay for me to do that. And a lot of people, guys, hop on board to say, well, you're wrong for this and this and that. And at this point, I invite them. I'm like, you know what? You know, if I'm wrong for that, then how is everyone else not wrong for how they believe? I'm good, and I'm comfortable, and I'm happy. And most people that surround me, you know, attest to there being an energy that we're able to give out that a lot of people aren't. Hey, I'm proud to call y'all brothers. I really am. And
I call it the Force.
I call it the Force, man. You call it, you know, they can call it what they want. I call it the Force, and I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. That feels good to me, and I'll pass that on. You know.
You can call it anything you want. Just don't call me.
But yeah. just don't call me a Trekkie. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing, man. I had to mess with a couple of Trekkies out there. But I just think that
I was just looking at how many listeners we got. They just went down by 50%. How are
we doing? Did it really?
No.
Yeah, man, but that's me, man. I'm very, very into I'm happy that we came across it. I'm happy that it's another way to accept spirituality, and for me, it's Jediism. You know, I tell people all the time, if you have any questions about the way I believe, what I believe, give me a call, talk to me. I'm diplomatic. I can definitely go into words, and we can figure it all out.
Well, I was kind of curious. I know that Ross and I share martial arts as a point of our interest. And I know that you'd be watching them fight, so I gotta wonder: do you train yourself in a martial art, or do you take classes in something like that, or do you just watch the fights, or how do you train your body? How about that?
I definitely train in martial arts. I've ever since I've had my first little girl, and she's two years and 8 months. I've kind of backed up on going to the dojo. But when I am in a dojo, I'm dealing with a taijutsu dojo / of course jujutsu, because everything is jujutsu now. And they do also a little BJJ when we have Sensei Palhares, I think it is, who comes out from the Gracie system. He comes out to us sometimes. Luis Palhares, I think that's how you say his name. He comes out to the dojo sometimes and teaches here. But it's called Yoshin Dojo. That's the name of my dojo. And I don't mean to plug. I didn't ask permission to do that. I don't know if that's okay.
Oh, no. Go right ahead. It's fine.
But they're awesome. They are a lineage of the Togakure system, but they are primarily jujitsu and weapons. Different weapons as well, but taijutsu and jujutsu, but we also work with weapons at
gotta,
night after hours or what have you.
I just gotta do this. I'm sorry, Adam. Jujutsu in the house, bro.
What'd you say?
I said, Adam, I just have to do this, but jujutsu in the house, yo. that's definitely my area.
Yeah, but definitely we all share martial arts, as I think. I personally feel like most Jedi, it would be great if more Jedi did share that a lot of us do, and it would be fantastic if even more of us did.
I know. I think every single Jedi I've talked to considers their body as part of their training, but a lot of them are in different places too. Some of them have health issues that they're battling, and that's just as difficult and just as spiritually maturing as what we do.
Everybody who overcoming an effort to participate in martial arts with us in some way or form, even if they haven't got time, they make an effort to understand it and have it prepared. I mean, you remember what we had? We were at a gathering. Roz was there.
You're breaking up a little bit there, Ross.
Sorry. How about now? Better? Hello?
Yeah, a little bit. Hello?
I need some adjustments here. How about now? Better?
Just keep going.
A lot more clear now.
Yeah.
I hear you.
There
you are.
Hello?
Well, go
maybe
ahead
he can't hear us.
I think we can hear you. Yeah, I
think maybe
he
can't
hear
us.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I agree with the splash of jiu-jitsu because a lot of people don't necessarily have the frame for striking or hard forms, but anybody can, with proper training, get a good angle on somebody, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like an 8-year-old broke a man's arm by pressing it the right way. And I know that the Costa Rica? I don't think it's Costa Rica, but the police force is trained in jiu-jitsu, so like even the smaller police force use it to subdue people. Dan Smartberry, he's a friend of mine. He does a lot of jiu-jitsu. He just recently got done with a competition. I think that's a really impressive. Ross also teaches some jiu-jitsu. He's
Ross, are you traditional, Ross, or are you Japanese? I mean, are you BJJ or traditional?
I actually do combative and traditional jiu-jitsu. We do groundwork as well as part of the traditional part, and you have to have a ground game. I mean, if you hit the floor, you got to know what to do. But we're not
right.
We're not all about stand on the floor and just going to hit the floor. And,
right.
And we're more about the combative arts and the traditional martial arts movement. But like I said, what I was trying to say before was, Adam, do you remember when Roz came to the gathering? Am I getting dumped every time I talk about Roz? Hello?
How's that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So do you remember when Roz came to the gathering?
When who did?
It's like every time I say it, Roz, R-O-Z, Roz.
It's the name. I can't get the name, even when you spell it. That's
like
crazy.
Roslyn?
Oh, Roz! Yeah, Jedi Roz.
Okay. So, it's weird. Like
she's awesome. She got everybody at Tacho to sign a Get Well Better card for me, and they sent that to me. It was really nice of them. She was the hand behind that.
Now she's actually, you know, incapable. You know, she's
wonderful.
You know, she's there. We're teaching her how to do, you know, I'm big into using fighting sticks, you know, Kali and Esprima, and I love that. And there we are teaching Roz how to use her cane as fighting sticks. I mean, that was just incredible. I get inspired by the fact that people come to work with us and part of the Jedi community, and they're getting so much to develop self-development, learning more about themselves. And, you know, I mean, I definitely appreciate what you guys are saying about the spiritual aspect. Big into that. I totally get it. But I think the whole development of self, making yourself better, and what Adam was saying before about the fact that, you know, all right, it comes from something imaginary or something. Well, you know, let me tell you, there's plenty of things that come from science fact has always preceded, science fiction has always preceded science fact. And so everybody's always hoping these things will come to life, but in the meantime, people are so inspired by it. Some of our greatest scientists in the world have been inspired by science fiction, so the fact that we love Star Wars is no big surprise. And believe it or not, there are many people out there who are closet Star Wars lovers. I meet them all the time, and they go, oh my god, it's such a big geek. Really? And I'm like, yeah, they just don't pursue it the way we do.
No, that's true.
That's really cool.
It's kind of that next level thing, you know. I mean, yeah, different levels of Star Wars fan. I'm not saying more fan. I'm saying went sideways with it fan. That's pretty much where we are. We didn't just look at it and go, oh, this is a fun thing to watch. Why can't I do that? Why can't I become a knight, you know? Why can't I become a better person? And, you know, if you know ahead of time that you're just putting a, like you said earlier, Sean, that you're just putting the flavor in the food, if you know it ahead of time, it's perfectly fine to call yourself a knight and act it and do it, you know. If somebody who doesn't really understand that just decides to, you know, not care about you because you can't move things with your mind, you say, I can move things with my mind. That's why I study. That's why I apply my knowledge. I probably move more with my mind than you do on purpose, you know. Not you guys, but
you take
my
You're talking to the general you.
Right. To think on purpose, to act on purpose, to do on purpose, as opposed to letting those actions be determined by your environment and your reaction to it. Some people might say that's unavoidable, but I think that we all know that at some point you learn that you can choose to do something enough that it becomes part of you, and you fundamentally change who you are by doing it. Anybody who's worked out and taken a summer off knows the difference between somebody who works, the person that they are when they're working out and the person that they are when they're not. There is a difference, and you have to make that extra work for yourself in order to get there. It's not something that comes naturally, and I don't know if that makes any sense, but part
it
of
makes
knighthood,
perfect sense.
You got to make yourself do it in order to get to that precipice. Jackie Chan said, first tastes bitter, then tastes sweet. And he was talking about training. He said it's going
to
be hard at first.
Great way to
but
put
that. If you do the hard thing first, everything else is easy. And that's a quote of my dad, actually. He said that. He said, do it the hard way first, because then everything else is easy. If you do the hard thing, you get up and you work out in the morning, or you make time in the evening, or on your lunch break you go jogging, whatever, and you purposely cause that suffering upon yourself, you get the sweet later, the benefit later. And when you need to run away from that guy who's chasing you, or you need to go rescue that girl from in front of that bus or whatever, and you can because you suffered that way to build up your leg strength and your running and your body, and you make that save, and you realize after the fact that I could not have done that if I had not chosen to suffer otherwise. And you start looking at all of your capabilities of your body and your mind, and you think, here's a Spider-Man, I have such great power within me, how can I not take responsibility for that? You know, do you take a beautiful craftsman's tools, and that's what we are, and just leave them on the shelf and let them get dusty and blunt and unused? Or do you grab those tools and use them for what they're for? I mean, obviously it's different for everybody, but the tools still need to be used. It doesn't matter what you're meant to do. If you don't do anything, you're not doing it.
The truth.
But,
absolutely the truth. Just like, and that's something like one of the exercises that we would have is getting up from, say, Saiza, which is like a kneeling stance and everything, getting up from that position from earlier stages, but getting up extremely slowly, using no hands, like extremely slowly. And you feel that pain. You're like, same thing with working out. You feel the pain of how to do it slowly and correctly. By the time it becomes the nature of you just doing it as, you know, when needed, when practical, it's nothing. It doesn't feel like anything. That bitter, sweet analogy
heaven.
Is perfect for that.
Yeah, it's heaven because you look down and like, oh my gosh, my arms just did that. You know, my whole body
yeah,
just whipped
exactly.
like that, you know? And after a while, people start moving in slow motion around you. And you wonder
yeah.
why everyone else doesn't, you know? It's like, wow, they really not walk that fast? What's going on? You know?
It's so true.
Or they go to catch something. You know, and they...
It's like, they're using the power.
Yeah. They see the loaf of bread falling off the shelf, and you can tell by their eyes that they recognize that it's going down, but their body just cannot make it there in time. You see, but for somebody who's used to, like, going down into the low... Pubu stance, or you know, with one leg bent and the other one straight, and you're all the way down there. That's an exercise that you do slowly, like you said. Eventually, your leg gets so well stretched and strong in that position, you can just drop straight down into it. And when you
yeah.
do that the first time on instinct to catch that falling loaf of bread, that's the sweet right there. Especially you know when you used to not be able to do that at all. But any artist
True.
Will tell you that too. You got to be artists of your own life, because any artist will tell you you have to do it over and over and over again, the best that you can in order to improve. And that's every day you wake up. You're the artist of your own life, and it's up to you to get up and paint. If you don't get better, then you just sit there on the shelf. I call it, you know, or the couch or the hammock or wherever it is that you spend your time, or the club. You know, I'm not saying clubs are bad. I'm saying if you're there 6 days a week, something's wrong. Unless you own the club or you work there. I think I went off on that little bit of a self-improvement tangent. I was trying to come up with a good... good analogy of what that's about.
It's a good, it's
that's
a great
nice.
Thing to have to go off on, though. That's something that people need to hear, though. I think one of the things I love about Jediism so much, or Jediism, is that our main focus over everything else, we improve us. Why? So that we can improve people who might need it. And that's something else. Like, I'll hear people say, you know, well, I stopped to help this guy change the tire because I'm a Christian, and because I'm a Christian. And I'm like, well, I did it because I'm a Jedi, but I also did it because of me. And I don't, you know, like, it's a fantastic feeling to do things because it's what's the right thing to do.
Oh yeah,
it's an amazing feeling, and that's one of the things. Like when I've had somebody ask me, hey, why Jediism and why not something else? And I'm like, well, because in my view, one of the requirements is we train ourselves, whether it be physically, mentally, or both, so that if a time happens where someone needs us, we can serve them, we can help them. And if we're not martial artists, and if we're not someone who mentally trained ourselves, then we can't do that, can we? You know, so
oh, yeah.
it's...
What good is a dull saw? Oh, yeah, I can help you cut that branch, but I haven't kept up on the saw, you know? And if you don't
Absolutely.
Keep up on yourself, you're not able.
And we're able to do it with everyone, not just someone, you know, who follows one specific set of beliefs or another. We can do that with everyone because we relate to everyone as Jedi. It's not closed off on belief. I think that's
right.
awesome. I think that's dope.
Absolutely. That's another good thing, because Jedi realism, and if in my mind properly followed Jediism, you can't exclude people from that compassion. If you have the time and the means, it's your prerogative to help them. It doesn't matter who it is. And a lot of people lose that idea. A knight's job is not to condemn, I don't think, ever. It's not really a knight's place to go around judging people and telling them they're no good. But it is absolutely 100% a knight's job to help if he can when he's asked. And if he sees something that needs done, to do it. Service. It's just service, and it brings people together. It sets a good example, sets the tone for the community. It places trust in their hands as far as what you will and won't do for them. It gives them somebody to look to that they can say, this person helped me, just help me. He's a little nutty because he's a Jedi or whatever, but I guess Jedi do good things.
He wore a hood over his head and a big robe. I didn't quite get it, but the brother helped. That's all that matters.
Right. Before I knew it, my tire was changed, and he just walked off with the old one, and I never looked back. That's how urban legends get started right there.
You are so right.
But I guess
that's what moves the community. The legend is what's going to move the community. That's that Batman theory, like, hey, if I'm a symbol, I can move so much more than if I'm a man.
It's true. It is true. You are right. And that's the power of a good story. And that's one of the reasons that we apply it. That is why I think that some of the power of improving ourselves comes from. Because when you say to yourself, I am a Jedi, that's empowering. You know? I am a knight. That's something to live up to. I mean, I personally am not a knight yet, which I thought was the irony of being asked to host the Knights of the Round Table show. I'm actually hoping that I become a knight while I am the host of this show, so that people can see sort of what that process is like.
It's my job to get you there. You have a pretty good chance there, Adam.
That's cool.
Well, I appreciate it, but it don't consider it a time limit either. I mean, I might get it 5 years from now, and when I say it, I hope I'm still doing this show, then I hope we're still doing this show in 5 years.
You know what's going to happen, Adam? When it's supposed to.
What'd you say?
I said, do you know when it's going to happen, Adam?
I have no idea when it's going to, or if it's going to happen.
It's going to happen when it's supposed to happen.
Going to happen when?
When it's supposed to.
Ah, yes, absolutely.
I was doing a little bit of your own Zen in that right there.
But,
can you hear me?
You know, I can hear it very enough to make out what you're saying. I know that you said it will happen when it's supposed to.
Yeah,
and I know I heard you when you asked me if I can hear you, but I worry that I miss words here and there. It's like there's a breeze between us. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure. I'm wearing a really good quality set of headset,
I do hear like a constant kind of a buzz in the background. I hear
both
of you
that
guys,
is.
But I hear like a it's like a constant buzz.
Ooh, wow, it's picking that up. Wow. All right, let me try to do something.
That is weird.
Yeah,
robot. It's like a robot bee or something.
If you hit the mute button, does that reduce it at all, or is that possible from where you are?
I
could
try.
Mm-hmm. It's gone now.
All right, so just unmute when you want to say something.
Yeah.
How about now?
Yeah, it was completely silent. I didn't hear anything until you unmuted to say something, and then I heard you clearly.
I'm gonna try something.
Yeah.
Ready? Be able to hear for the last couple of seconds?
A lot better.
Okay.
It is better.
I think I'm on the radio.
Well, we touched on a lot of good stuff as far as our earlier path, and I'd like to individually explore it deeper in future episodes, especially you, Sean. I'd love to have you back as often as you're willing to chime in.
Thank you. How about now? Better?
That's perfect.
Oh, much better.
That is perfect.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It was the fans on my Mac.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
I had those bad boys cranked up to 6,000 RPM. Keep it nice and quick. All right, anyway.
Why is it how the computer would hover in front of you?
Yeah, when you when you deal with Stark Tech, it runs a little hot. I got stuff going on. That's all good.
Yeah, that's perfect. Wow.
Yeah, that's much better.
All right, now I know better in the future. Sorry.
How about a little? We're coming up on our hour. If we want to continue, I'm open. I'm willing. That's up to you guys as well.
Yeah, we still have another hour of time that we could use. It's up to you guys.
Well, I did want to brainstorm a little, especially with our guest host here, about some of the things that we'd like to talk about in future episodes to give people an idea of the direction that we're headed. So, Ross, do you have some subjects you'd like to bring up as far as the path is concerned? And
I was thinking that one of the things that we talk about, like being very current today as a Jedi, right? People will talk about being a Jedi as compared to being a character from the movie or something in the movie, but being current, you know, and doing things. So here's a question. You know, what kind of, I'm into technology. I love the technology. What kinds of things do people use technologically to be a Jedi? We have a huge community of people who are online Jedi. They use their computers to be Jedi. They want to be making a presence, whether they're doing a blog or they're on Facebook or they're in a Facebook channel or they're, you know, however they're communicating with the world to talk about what they feel being a Jedi is all about. I like using my technology to do a lot of things in my life. So I like to make it apply to what I'm doing and make a tool. So, you know, if you're helping people and your technology is part of that, I'm curious what people are using to do good works as a Jedi and what mediums, what technology are they using? So I think that would be a really cool topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, how creative can they get with their phones? I mean, what do they carry around in their cars that they use to help people? I mean,
right.
Great,
Sean.
Topic.
Do you
Fantastic.
Have any? Do you have any topics you'd like to see on the show at some point?
Oh man, so many, man. I love the idea of bringing a certain or assisting with a certain amount of diversity within the community. We have so many Jedi who are, you know, just black people from the hood who are scared to come out of the religion closet, if that's where they are, and get into something such as this, which match perfectly with how they view things. But because society's weird about it. One time I was asked by somebody in the community, what is it with people of color or black guys or black women, why don't they gravitate toward this the way a lot of other people do? And I was just like, well, a lot of it is cultural, like the community that we come from, it's kind of not accepted by, say, my parents or their parents or what have you. It's not as open to the idea of something so new age. Going into that and opening the door for people like myself that come from kind of an urban world of people of color, and saying it's okay to be involved in something that is not so standard. That's not so traditional, and going out on a limb and going to something such as Jediism. It's for one,
yeah.
It's stupid fun. It's crazy fun to be able to say, well, if you're into this, that's fine and that's great, and I'm happy for you. Here's what I'm into. And when people say, you're into what? I'm like, yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. Don't get us wrong. We're geeks and we know it, but we're not thinking that we can, you know, float and do all the things that the movie characters can do. But what we know we can do is affect people's minds and the way they think, and opening that up to everybody, not just the hood, but everybody, is something that's a goal of mine. And
I don't care if you're black, white, or purple. You break out a lightsaber and ignite that baby, their eyes gloss over and go, oh, I want one.
Man, you ain't lying.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to get the black community involved, break out a purple one and they all in. That's great right there.
Yeah, my first lightsaber. Hey, just
want
to tell you, my first lightsaber was Mace Windu's, bro. So that's all I got to
say.
He still
love,
got it in
man.
His place, too.
It is probably on my mantle. Mace Windu,
For our listening people out there, it does come with sword training. I think any of us would be willing to show you how to swing a blade. So, you know, we do get to play with lightsabers. This dark side
fun,
has a cookie.
Yeah.
See, I would like to hear more episodes. I would like to hear more episodes about nature. Little spirituality about building a temple to Hannigan, but I want to tell you guys, you guys have done a kick-ass episode. I'm just going to tell you guys that right now, but I do want to throw out one small correction.
Oh, God.
Jedi Realist Radio, it was at one time just a show, but right now what we're transitioning into is an actual brand. So Jedi Realist Radio is going to be a lot stronger than it ever was. This show, the round table with Adam and Ross, is totally kick ass. They are incredible people. So you guys should watch. Like, another show that I'm going to be starting up this Tuesday at 4:00 will be the Jedi Templar, which is not to sound like Bruce Lee, because Ross knows how much I love Bruce Lee, but the
That's
Jedi
right.
Templar episodes are my own interpretation of what Jedi realism means to me. So not to steal from Bruce Lee, but that's pretty much what Jedi Templar is. We're going to have some other interview episodes with people from other groups on and offline. Like, we had a great episode with the Kentucky Jedi. They were pretty kick-ass. One guy named Jackie. There's another guy. What the hell is his name? Sean Powell.
I don't know that guy. He's not important.
Hey, all I'm going to say is Sean's a fellow jujitsuan, so our numbers are growing, so take that.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm going to go back to muting now. I just want to say you guys did a kick-ass job. Remember, we're a brand. Awesomeness.
Thank you,
Hannigan. Thank you guys for helping rebuild Jedi Realist Radio. All of your help is appreciated. I'm muting, so love and light, guys.
It's going to be awesome.
Love and light to you.
It's going
to
be awesome. Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to say, guys, now that I know that Hannigan is muted, I wanted to say that I have officially stolen Hannigan's Jedi life that he writes, but he doesn't necessarily say it. So at the end of everything I post, not everything, but mostly everything I do of log on, I always say Jedi life, and I love saying it because I know Hannigan's like, you jerk, you stole it.
he said that was definitely one of the conditions. Was he said, I'm not allowed to say love and light. He said get your own damn sign off, okay?
You know, we did talk about that, and I gonna go traditional. I'm gonna say may the force be with you. That's gonna be me.
Nice.
I say it to my master every time we finish a conversation on the phone, and whenever I have Jedi discussions with anybody else, I try to wrap it up that way as well. So I think it's a nice,
it is.
Community-wide accepted parting, if that makes any sense.
It does. Hey, we could be saying Excelsior and get a lot of people mad, so there we go.
Oh, hey, now you're touching my
true.
Part of the world, bro. You know, hey.
Oh, hey. You know what? That's me and you both, man. I love you for saying that too, because I'm that's my world as well. I love the fact that you are a comic guy now.
So who's your favorite? Who's your guy?
I'm an X-Men person. I'm an X-Force and X-Men.
Which one?
Cable.
Who?
Cable number one, depending on where he's at. Yeah, he's my all-time.
I thought it was pretty cool that Deadpool is saying in the next one, Cable should be showing up.
Yes. Deadpool is my tie for second, other being Gambit, old school Gambit, not Death and all the other new types of Gambits they come out with, but Gambit, as we know, and Remy LeBeau.
Yep.
Not Remy Picard, because now I think they're calling him Remy Picard. I don't know what they're doing. Go ahead, Dad. You're okay. Go ahead. Sorry, my daughter has this thing where she goes to bed, but she saves all the pee-pee for the end of the night so that she can keep waking up and say, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to pee.
Well, clever. Hey, that's body control. Good training.
Yeah, absolutely.
My personal, as most every single Jedi in the community knows, my personal favorite is Tony Stark. That is my alter ego.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a
Tony Stark
man.
Oh yeah, Iron Man, and your apprentice is Iron Fist.
I donned you that. I actually donned you Iron Fist. That's awesome.
Now, fantastic. Of the shows, I like Luke Cage better, but Iron Fist was a great comic book growing up, and I really liked the idea of it. And so it works well for me. I got so excited about that show coming on, but oh my gosh. Nobody in that show knew how to fight. Not one.
Yeah.
Maybe the drunken guy near the end, but
it's the fight choreography thing. If they had the right person doing that, it would be different. You know, but if it's not good,
is the choreography not good on it?
It's not as good as it could be. It really needs to be better.
Yeah, they need like Ray Park. They need someone really good in order to like choreograph that one, because that's a big deal. Iron Fist needs to be the stuff.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. I mean, they didn't even get a martial artist to play him. I mean, he studied some stuff, but you can't mix up a bunch of martial arts crap that you learn on DVDs from Walmart and then say he's the world's greatest martial artist, because that's exactly what it looked like. Like he just threw in some videos in his garage over the weekend, said, okay, guys, I'm ready to go. Just take a couple shots and you can edit the rest.
It's very possible. It's very common that they take somebody who's an actor and then teach them to be at least a good looking martial artist.
This is the last one they should have done it on.
But, for instance, look at Jason Scott Lee, who played Bruce Lee in the movie, right?
Yeah.
And that guy was unbelievable. I mean, he was great. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think he did a good job. I think he did a really good job, a very good job.
Yeah. I thought he was great. I bought it. I mean, I know he was actually physically bigger than Bruce, but he brought that whole thing to life. And I
Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai.
Yeah, there you go. See?
He did a phenomenal job in The Last Samurai to be a non-martial artist to take on. He's been working on stunt stuff for a long time.
Oh yeah.
He what?
I say he's been doing stunt stuff for a long time though. I mean, he is an accomplished actor.
Yeah, true.
I think that's the whole thing, you know. But again, going back to what Adam said, I know we've drifted off the whole Jedi thing. But we had extra time here, so the fact of the matter is that he's right. You know, if they're gonna take on this guy being the bee's knees in Kung Fu, then he should really come off as being incredibly good at it, you know, and I think he does a good job as far as his acting skills. I just think that that's the problem.
I guess I was just really disappointed in, you know, because I kind of built him up a bit, and maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I sort of built the part up in my mind a bit while it was coming out. They did such a good job with Daredevil, and for what it was, Jessica Jones was really, I mean, that was more of a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
And then Luke Cage stood on its own, in my opinion. I'm right in the middle of rewatching it now.
There's a very powerful, you know, black culture character that, I mean, I sat there just watching Luke Cage and I was like, oh my gosh, this is just incredible. I mean, what a great.
I was really
character.
Enjoying that one.
Yeah, very strong character.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I had not listened to Wu-Tang before, actually. But as soon as I started, and I started recognizing the movies that their clips were from, and I'm like, these guys watch the same stuff I do. They're just singing about it. It was really cool. And so I've been listening to a lot of that lately.
Very cool.
But Iron Fist came after all that.
Yeah, that's something that I wanted to. I had told my dad that was such a good program, the Luke Cage, and he looked at it, he couldn't believe it, because he's from Manhattan. I'm from Brooklyn and Queens, but my dad is from Manhattan, and for him, they did the whole Luke Cage thing in Manhattan in Spanish Harlem. So no. Was it Spanish Harlem that he was in? That's Daredevil. Luke Cage was from Manhattan, but I don't know that it was Spanish Harlem.
Well, he went there to hide. He was talking to Pops, and Pops said, "Where are you from?" And he's like, "I'm from Chicago." And he's like, "You ain't from no damn Chicago." And he's like, "Oh, I'm out from the," you know, he was out in the middle of like Connecticut, out in the country or something, or Kentucky, I can't remember. He says, "Oh, you're a country boy." Like, he went to jail, and once he escaped, then he ended up in Harlem. But he just went there to hide. He wasn't from there. That's why nobody knew who he was when he showed up.
Got you.
He just happened to make good friends with Pops, and from there, his character spoke for him after that point.
Got you.
Even when Cottonmouth started having all of his people badmouth Luke Cage, go knock people over and badmouth him in order to get Harlem to kick him out because he couldn't take him out. There's one, two things you could do is you can accept the shaming and get out of town, or you can go out and actively resist what it was that he was doing. And that's what I meant when I said his strength of character is what got people on his side, because he went out and started going after the people that went after the people instead of just letting it go.
Wow.
So anyway, I could talk for hours about that show.
I wish I would have got more into the comic book. Like, I'm glad that they kind of redid the character. Not the character, but I'm glad that they reintroduced the character in a sense, because when the comic book was out, I couldn't get past the corny outfit.
Yeah.
I couldn't get past it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I can't.
It was a little bit disco, yeah.
It
was a little bit
disco. Perfect way to put it. But it was nothing could be more disco than our very subject matter here, right? Star Wars was the most disco thing in the world.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's
we try
true.
To deny that. That's true. We do try to, you know, like, look the other way when it. Somebody actually said that to me the other day, like, didn't they have a disco version? I went, no. Never. Didn't happen.
No, didn't happen.
Check out this mind trick. No.
Oh, man. And then it was the. Yeah, they had a lot of disco stuff going on. They even had a Wookiee movie. I mean, not a Wookiee movie. Was it a? It was a
you're not about to talk about the
Ewok.
Thing not allowed to talk about, right? No.
Is that the Ewok thing?
It was Christmas, and we don't talk about it.
Oh, the Christmas special. Yeah, we don't talk about
that.
I
heard about that.
We don't talk about the drug thing.
It was bad.
We forbid everybody to talk about it. Like, when people talk about it, like, no, that didn't happen. No, that. We go into denial.
I'm with that. I like that.
We're like, George Lucas was doing a lot of drugs back then, and he just didn't realize what he was doing.
And the disco and the Wookiee Christmas, that was all a part of it if he was doing drugs back then.
That was the only thing we could figure. We were like, what inspired that, really?
I remember getting
well,
that album and not knowing what to think when I was a kid.
Oh, Oh, yes, the whole disco. Oh,
the disco albums.
Do you still have that?
Yeah, well, somewhere around here I do. Because, I mean, it was a John Williams thing. It was just like, I'm thinking on terms of John Williams and like, Superman theme and the Star Wars theme and all, you know, Indiana Jones theme, all these cool themes coming from this guy. I'm thinking it's going to be mostly that type of stuff. Man, I got that album, and I'm playing it as a kid. I'm thinking I'm about to feel like a superhero or feel like a Jedi. And when I heard some of the disco joints, I'm like, I don't think my mom got me the right album. I think she got me the wrong
thing.
Wait a
minute.
I think it's something she wanted.
Right? Oh, that's hilarious.
Like, oh, it was great, though. I mean, like, now, like, I haven't seen my album in so long. I would love to listen to it now just to kind of bring back the nostalgic feeling.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a fun time.
Well, the media's gotten better. Well, I'm sorry to say that they got rid of some of the, what is it now, Star Wars Legends or whatever it is that they call it, the expanded universe. But they did put some really cool stuff out there. I mean, Star Wars Rebels has been a great show.
Man, I love that show.
Yeah, there's a lot of good
episodes
in it. Somebody shaving?
No, that was me. I was testing out a feature that Michael hadn't used. You're allowed to upload audio clips and play them during the show. So check this out. Lightsaber is pretty cool.
I like it.
Oh my God! What is he doing? Somebody shaving?
I told you. I'm gonna push this thing to its limits, man. I'm looking for features. I'm going, okay, let's try this out.
Fantastic.
That's pretty cool. Well, gentlemen, I actually have to go. I have a friend who plays in a band. His name is Andrew, and I work with him. And he's in a band called Eminent Slaughter, which is a metal band.
Okay.
And when you think of me, you don't necessarily think metal. And that's the truth of it right there. But he is my friend, and I said I would go to his concert. So I'm going to have to go and get ready to go do that. I'm supposed to be there in about 40 minutes.
Best of luck, man. Keep it safe out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. See, after the surgery, and I'll get into that later if you want me to, I can't be drinking anymore. So it's perfect for being that guy who gives people a ride home. And, you know, when you're the sober guy at 1:30 in the morning, you know what I said earlier about everybody moving in slow motion?
Wait a minute. You're not allowed to drink.
Three.
You're not allowed to have any alcohol anymore?
It's not a good idea to drink it at all. Not in a, oh, it'll kill me instantly kind of way, but in a, I've had my fun and now I should let it go.
Wow, that means that peppermint schnapps here is all mine, huh? Okay.
I guess that one is.
That's all mine.
I mean, like, once in a while, in the sense of deep-rooted tradition, I will have a drink once in a while, but going out to the bar at night in the middle of a work week, it's not going to happen. So
yeah, you got to keep it down to the glass, the shot glass, not alcohol.
But I will speak with you guys soon, Sean. Great talking with you. Please call in any and every time that you can. It would be wonderful to have you on.
Well, thank you.
Always
thank
a
you.
Pleasure. And
good
Rock,
looking out.
It was wonderful to have this first episode with you, Master, and I look forward to many more. Gentlemen, may the force be with you.
And
may the force be with you, my
guide
friend.
You wherever you go. Sean, it sounds like you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here. Am I hanging up now?
Well, we have 40 minutes left. I don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
Sounds like you're busy with your kids. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll probably cut it short because I got some push-ups to do. I'm doing the whole Jack Troutman of Kentucky Jedi, who is the head of Kentucky Jedi. He challenged me, so I'm in my second phase of doing my 22 push-ups for 22 days in honor of our soldiers who've taken their lives. I'm doing that challenge for that. nice. That challenge. I know I'm rambling here because I'm probably getting tired, but I'm doing that challenge right now. So I do have to do that before midnight.
Nice. I'm all for it, man. Absolutely. All right. Well, then, all right. Well, may the force be with you and may it be with you wherever you go.
Thank you, my friend, and everybody. I hope you have a fantastic night. May the force be with all of you. And as I always say, I like to leave people with this thought. If you ever feel like you're having a bad day, you just need a hug, you need some words, get at your bruh. Get at me, and I'll do what I can to try to bring your spirits up a little bit. And on that note, and that goes out to everybody, even people who I might not seem like I like you and you might not like me. But if you need a talk and if you need a hand, a mental, verbal hug, get at me, and I will do everything I can to make it better. On that note, my friend, I hope you have a fantastic night, Russ. May the force be with you.
Same to you, Sean. Have a good one, man. I'll see you around.
Jedi life. I'm gone.
All right. Well, that's our episode of Jedi Realist Radio, Knights of the Round Table. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight, and we'll see you on the next episode of Jedi Realist Radio, The New Hope.